Joining us now, he is the voice of the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Panthers this week, Wes Durham. Wes, welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
So, first off, let's kind of break down week one, the Falcons against the Eagles. Things didn't go as planned. Kind of give us a feel for your take on the game.
Well, defensively, I thought they did a really good job again, just like they did in the divisional round. I think offensively, unfortunately, the first possession was kind of indicative of what the night offered for them. Atlanta was able to move the ball seemingly pretty comfortable between the 20s, but once they got into the red zone again, it became an issue about scoring, and they did get the one touchdown, but it came down to the vaunted west end zone of Lincoln Financial Field again. It did on the opening possession of the game, and it did on the last possession of the game. And all the rhetoric that had gone on in the offseason about trying to correct some of the red zone issues, it didn't provide any kind of relief for Falcon fans, that's for sure. And they come away from Philadelphia disappointed again, for sure.
Yeah, anytime you visit there again, it makes you want to win the toss and take the other end zone for the fourth quarter, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, either that or find a way to play the game in your place.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I haven't quite figured out what the solution is there yet, but for sure, I mean, it's that one particular end zone has slowly become a house of horrors for Atlanta, no doubt.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see a whole lot of the game. I was actually on a cruise ship out in the Atlantic, thankfully getting out of there before any hurricanes hit. But, it seemed like I saw one of the interception that Matt threw down inside the red zone with, 5 or 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
And that just didn't seem to be a wise decision on his part. Was he kind of pressing at that point, just trying to get something done and make something happen?
Well, the quarterback, and any quarterback, and I happen to sit beside one doing the game to Dave Archer, they're the first guys to tell you they get too much credit and too much blame. In many cases, last Thursday night, Matt got a lot of blame for things that were breaking down around him. And I can tell you that in going back and watching the game, Fletcher Cox just destroyed Atlanta's middle interior in the offensive line. Fletcher Cox was just a dominant player that never allowed Atlanta to get any kind of rhythm going in the throw game. And certainly I think Ryan's interception, the one you're talking about to Rasul Douglas, is probably one that's as much about the pressure that was being applied to him all night as it was about, the idea to throw it in the corner or whatever the case may be. Philadelphia deserves a lot of credit for creating a lot of four-man pressure on Atlanta and making things really rough in the pass game most of the night.
So as we look forward to week two against the Carolina Panthers, we know that in week one, the Panthers looked really good on defense, had their own struggles a little bit on the offensive side of the ball. We don't really know that much about Dallas. Dallas didn't seem to do a whole lot on the offensive side of the ball. So kind of preview week two in this matchup. In order for the Falcons to be successful, what's going to have to happen?
Well, it's interesting, Greeny. I said when the schedule came out last spring that I thought the Panthers-Falcons games were going to be fascinating simply because one of them was in week two and the other one was in week 16. I think you're talking about a broad dynamic of a season. I mean, we could get to Christmas Eve when this second game occurs and, it could be for all the money in the table or it could be for, who gets the better draft pick, that's just how volatile I think this can be in the NFC South this year. The Panthers, in watching the ball game against Dallas, I thought they did some nice things defensively. I don't think they missed Charles Johnson too much. I thought Dontari Poe came in there, who's a free agent from Atlanta, helped them inside with Kawan Short. I thought Keekly obviously was Keekly, and then in the secondary, I thought they were fine. Offensively, I guess I'm the guy in the room that wants to see Christian McCaffrey touch it more. And then I'm the other guy that probably also wants to know who the vertical guy is going to be in this operation. I know they drafted DJ Moore for some of that. It looks like Funchess was a guy they don't have any problem throwing vertically to, because that's where Atlanta's going to be stressed. They lost Keanu Neal in the opening game in Philadelphia, who was a tremendous player in this defense. That's going to be a hard replace for Atlanta. And with Deion Jones, kind of on the injury report during the week, it'll be fascinating to see how Atlanta handles Cam Newton, because Deion Jones had a lot to do with limiting Cam Newton in the second meeting a year ago at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Don't you think, Wes, that the Greg Olsen injury is extremely costly too?
Oh, for Carolina long term, it certainly is. I mean, I know they've tried to do some things with Manhurts, and I think they got Ian Thomas also on the roster. But you're still talking about a guy who's not only productive on the field, but I happen to think is one of the really good veteran leaders in the league. But yeah, Olsen's injury can certainly be something that can sidetrack what they want to do offensively. Plus, I happen to think too that North Turner likes tight ends a lot, and I thought he was a great fit for not only what they wanted to do offensively, but certainly for the tight end position as well. So yeah, I can understand where Carolina's going to be fighting that absence as well.
Yeah, and obviously with Williams going down and not being probably not going to be available for the game, you start talking about a beat up offensive line for the Panthers. Does that maybe change the focus a little bit for the defensive front for the Falcons? And you know, at the same time, it's kind of that catch 22 with Cam Newton, because if you start putting pressure on Cam and he starts getting away from you, he can win the game by himself.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's the problem he presents every time, is that he's a guy that, you know, once he slips the pocket, you know, there's a two-dimension thing waiting. It's a run-throw operation. And he's, no matter how you want to draw this up, guys, he's still a really big guy to try and get on the ground. And he's done things in the past in his previous 7 years against Atlanta that have made things tough. So, yeah, no question that Cam presents all sorts of problems and concerns for Atlanta defensively. And again, I'll go back to the Deion Jones injury, you know, that he's nursed this week, and Atlanta signed a linebacker earlier in the week as a result of it. That, you know, you'll have to be cognizant of that position on the field for Atlanta defensively. So now you take your Mike linebacker and you take your strong safety and Keanu Neal, who's on the shelf for the rest of the year. Yeah, Cam Newton becomes a double down situation for Atlanta, no doubt.
Yeah, well, and when you start looking at the division, the NFC South, I mean, right out of the gate, everybody kind of thought, well, it's really between Atlanta, the Saints, and the Panthers. And lo and behold,
absolutely,
Tampa Bay has a great game the other day. So, you know, this division could be, you know, the most interesting division as we go through the season.
I told somebody on the golf course this summer, it's a .com stock. The NFC South is a .com stock. I mean, it may look really good right now, but by the time it's finished at the end of 17 weeks, it may be so beat up that nobody can recognize it. You know, there's that stat that came out this summer that I've used it 1,000 times if I've used it once. Over 15 years, the NFC South, the three teams, the Panthers, the Saints, and the Falcons, are separated by one game. Three teams separated by one game in the division. You take that and use that same metric in the AFC East. New England has an 84-game lead on the next closest team.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to think just how competitive the NFC South is. And, look, let's be honest. The Panthers, Falcons, Saints, and Bucks may not like each other, but they can all agree it's probably the best division in football. And yet, when everybody starts talking from a national perspective, it rarely gets its due. So it's really up to the four fan bases to keep pounding the drum, if you will, to borrow a Panther adage there. You keep pounding the drum on how good the NFC South is, people ultimately are going to recognize it for how competitive it's been year in and year out for so many years.
Again, we're talking with the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham, as they are going to be playing the Carolina Panthers coming up this weekend. And, you know, what's it really going to take throughout this season? I mean, obviously injuries play a big part in the NFL season. You know, every team has them. As you look at the depth, you know, even early on, but as we go through the season, I mean, what's the position that if the Falcons happen to have a player go down, I mean, what's the positions that might be of concern as the season goes on?
Well, I'd say it may have happened with Keanu Neal,
right,
to be honest with you. I mean, he's as productive a guy at strong safety as Atlanta has on that defensive side. And so it's a concern for me. To see kind of how Atlanta survives or weathers that particular situation. If you're breaking down each team, I think you have to look at the schedule. In Atlanta's case, Sunday against the Panthers starts a critical stretch. They play three games at home in a row, weeks 2, 3, and 4. Atlanta had 5 of their first 7 at home. and then four of their last six are on the road, guys. The three division opponents are all on the road in those last 6 weeks, and then the fourth road game is in Green Bay. And we saw last Sunday night that, you know, you can never beat Green Bay at Lambeau Field. I mean, Chicago was beating them senseless for three quarters, and then, you know, Aaron Rodgers does his best Harry Houdini or something and finds a way for him to win. And so you never take Green Bay for granted. You certainly don't take road games in your own division for granted. And that's the way Atlanta's schedule sets up. So without looking at Carolina, Tampa, and New Orleans exclusively, I can just tell you how Atlanta's year lays out. And the critical nature of the first seven and the critical nature of the last six are very real for Dan Quinn's club.
Yeah, well, and, you know, you make that mention, and of course the one road game in that scenario is at the Steelers, which is never an easy environment to play in either.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You're in Philly, you play these five home games in your first seven, and your other road game is Pittsburgh, who, you know, after tying Cleveland last Sunday, will be playing for their lives from here on out now because, as you guys may or may not know, a tie in your division is almost like losing one and a half. Because the tie doesn't do anything except with the two teams involved. It's a win for the other two. So the Ravens and Bengals both got a win yesterday, whether they won their game or not. Just so happened that both of them did. So both those teams are now essentially 1.5-0 on the year because of what Pittsburgh and Cleveland did.
And I know when you're out there playing golf with your buddies during the summer and you're thinking about all these things, realistically, what do you think it's going to take to win this division record-wise?
Well, we're counting on seeing that Tampa team, you know, on a regular basis, and I just don't see that, okay? Mm-hmm. I think that New Orleans was sitting there thinking how great they were, and all of a sudden they got it shoved on them. And defensively, I heard how great New Orleans was going to be, and they gave up, what, 48, 47? I mean, so let's take it to account that Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta are basically going to play a round robin. You need to probably think about the possibility of all three of these teams qualifying again for the playoffs like last year. I just don't see anybody other than the division winners in the other three being able to take real advantage of this. I mean, to me, I would favor Minnesota, Green Bay in the north, Philadelphia, I guess, for the time being in the east. And then out west, I would, in all honesty, I would look at the potential of the Rams and who knows, maybe the Cardinals. I don't trust Seattle right now, and I've been told how good San Francisco is going to be, and yet a lot of it has to do with the quarterback who's being – really well compensated but doesn't have a lot of experience. So, to me, I still think the NFC South got a chance to produce not only a division winner but two more wild cards as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's probably a 10 or 11 win season probably wins the division if they continue to beat up on each other.
10-11 is probably a really fair number, but you got to remember, too, the crossovers this year are a little more difficult maybe with the uncertainty of the NFC East and certainly the challenge the AFC North is going to present. Yep. And everybody's got to go through that. So that's certainly something to keep in mind. You know, the other part about this is that the Rams and Seahawks provide the NFC West opponent. Atlanta gets Arizona in that draw. You know, so and then you figure the NFC North provides the other opponent. And in the case of Carolina, they're going to get, I think, Detroit out of that, and New Orleans has to get Minnesota. So, you know, how volatile will those conference games be? Because last year, that's what got Atlanta in a position to get in the playoffs, was because their conference record was so good and they won the tiebreaker against so many different teams.
Yeah. All right. Well, Wes, man, we always appreciate you coming on with us, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you at the end of the season, and we'll talk about it then.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on again.